Committee on Ways and Means, we're here to continue public hearing on House Bill 5014 and 5015. Open that public hearing on House Bill 5014 and 5015. And interestingly enough, we forgot to figure out that the rest of the committee members were on the Human Services Sub, which is meeting right now to do a rebalance. So you have the audience here to listen to your presentations. But I think we should just go ahead and start working on it. And I will call forward Mike Greenfield, and we'll be talking about the priority lists and the performance measures.
Madam Chair, for the record, Mike Greenfield, the Deputy Superintendent, and I'm glad that you didn't get rid of all of the old chairs.
So we saved a nice one.
I'm going to make some comments on performance measures and the priority.
I want to buy that one. I'll sell it to you for $1.
Wait a minute. I heard you get those for $100. performance measures and the priority list. I spoke with the committee early on in introductory remarks, and we had just put these performance measures together with the help of Jeff Tryons, and I think it's fair to say that they are aligned with the Oregon benchmarks and the superintendent's and the board's priorities. I think it's also fair to say that at the statewide level, mainly due to the database initiative, that we can line data up fairly accurately with the performance measures. Those are cohorts of information which have been reliable and are available. At the department level, we have work to do simply because these performance measures simply weren't in existence 3 weeks ago. As we assert management control over the department, we will begin using the existing performance data to align operations with these performance measures and use the resulting information to either change performance or create more realistic measures. What I know about performance measures is if you really use them, you develop them, you apply them to the objective situation, and you discover usually that the measures need to be fine-tuned, and then you can really begin to have a feedback loop between what is happening on the ground and what happens and have it really relate to the performance measures. And so I regret that there isn't too much more I can say about these performance measures since we have just gotten them completed, since we are really asserting management control over the department, and we are in the process of talking with a committee and with our advisory group about changes. And so there's not much more I could say about them, except that I think as one of the members noted, or one of the people who testified noted, I took the initiative as the DAS director to have these become part of the budgeting process, worked with the legislature last session, promoted and pushed state agencies to get engaged in this process and believe in it. It is simply a higher order of management, and when used properly, really, I think, will be useful to the legislature, to the superintendent, and to the taxpayers.
Well, I think, too, that as we go into work session on the department's budget, part of what we do will be to look at those performance measures and suggest changes to them. And I recognize that the performance measures themselves haven't been in place for a very long time at all, and that it is a work in progress. So I think as we move through the budget into the work session phase of it, that we'll get into this area more than we have.
Thank you, and I suppose the one silver lining is we can't say, oh, no, we've always done it that way.
You won't be able to use that excuse, no. And I think it was a revelation to the members of the committee that the department had not had performance measures in the past.
It was revelation all around. move forward to the priority list. The priority list that you have represents department staff work with advice from our business case advisory group. As you what you see is a fairly consistent set of groupings within each office. And the conclusions we reached as we went through this process were: we most value what goes on in the classroom, and this calls for balancing our ability to support classrooms with our ability to hold the system accountable on your behalf and on the superintendent's behalf. Barring a catastrophic cut, the best way to approach this is not to pit grant and aid against our ability to be the accountability mechanism, but to look at each office individually. And of course, if the cuts become large enough because of the fiscal situation, then we really are going to have to start making some very difficult decisions between those two activities. And this analysis is consistent with the presentations we've made to this committee and the way we will approach the business case evaluation. We'd like to work with you and your staff on an office-by-office basis to consider budget reductions. If that strategy does not reach the necessary amount, we are prepared to discuss the severe cuts that will probably impact both the grants and aid and our ability to hold the system accountable. The superintendent ran on a platform of making the department run better. It is certainly our intention at the end of this budgeting process to reprioritize along the lines of the values that have been expressed and to try to make the system more transparent. I think this committee and the legislature need to consider the $6 billion expenditure that's being made across the entire system and perhaps enhancing the role of the department to be at least making that system transparent or adding accountability mechanisms. And that simply boils down to general fund positions. Certainly the federal funds come with strings and mechanisms to hold funds accountable on behalf of the federal government. Not many of those have to do with cost efficiency. Most of them have to do with service delivery. And so this is a discussion that needs to be had, and it is certainly our predisposition to move the department forward in the accountability arena.
Well, and I think that we all have a pretty good understanding now of the challenges that we're going to face as we build this budget. We've got a department that's in huge transition right now, and how the department is going to end up looking at the end of that process, I don't think is known yet. And so trying to form a budget around that has its own challenges. As we heard yesterday, there also are issues with how we interface with the federal government that define the budget to a great deal, too. And then our own need to be able to make the best use that we can of the general fund that's in here, and it is in some pretty discrete places. So this is going to be interesting. So we shake something out here and see what it looks like. But I fully anticipate that our need to write a budget and close down the legislative session is going to be, the timeline on that is going to be much faster than the timeline the department is on to finish the reorganization. And so I think that we are going to be looking at some kind of a transitional budget here, and that your management team will find itself speaking to LFO a great deal and them a great deal and the emergency board a great deal over the interim as we progress through this process.
Well, Chair Morgan, members of the committee, that is a plus for a couple of reasons. Wherever we go, we want the legislature to go with us. We are really talking about changing the status quo, which will meet with plenty of resistance, and so we need legislative support for some of the tough decision. Certainly, if there's an adjustment to the governance system or added transparency to the system or accountability, there will be resistance to that. And so it's imperative the legislature be committed and moving hand in hand with the department. And so it is, if you all weren't insisting on it, we'd be insisting on it. We need to go there together.
Well, and I think the challenge is, too, that in the interim, we don't have the ability to change fiscal policy or policy. And so we'll be in a position where we'll be rolling out whatever it is that we put together in the session. And that in itself, I think, is kind of a scary proposition, being since we're trying to make a plan when we can't see where we want to end up. So I think it's going to be fairly interesting here as we get into this and then roll out the interim and see how it actually unfolds.
Well, we're ready and looking forward to it, the mystique of public service.
Yeah. Questions or comments? You're kind of walked in at the... in the process here. Mr. Greenfield, does that conclude your remarks?
Yes, that concludes our remarks. I don't know if you want to go through the vacancy.
We do.
And then we have folks here who can do that. But that would conclude my remarks. I certainly appreciate the time of the committee, and we feel as though we've been able to display pretty clearly for the committee what we do, and look forward to having the discussions around budget decisions.
Well, and I do want to say, well, you are still on the diet or testifying, that it's been a real satisfying experience to me to work through these issues with the department. I think that, you know, when I first learned that I would be given the charge of this committee, my first thought was, what did I do to get this? But it has been just an immense learning curve for me to get a bead on what all the programs are within the department and come to understand the dynamics of the functioning inside of the department and the kind of push-pulls that are going on between the legislature and the governor's office. And there's an immense amount of politics around this, and it's pretty complex. But I think that the information and the commitment that the department has put forward through this has been outstanding. And the quality of the information, the quality of the dialogue, the responsiveness of people to try to quantify what it is we're trying to get information on, and then supplying us with that information. I can't say enough about the cooperation that we've gotten here. And I think that all of us have gotten what we've asked for and more. And have certainly come away with the feeling that we are a team going through this.
Thank you, Chair Morgan. I'll pass that along to our folks, and I would certainly compliment you for orchestrating that and insisting on a high standard that we've been trying to meet. So it's we've got lots to do, but I think we can make some of the tough decisions. Thank you.
And Mr. Brawley, are you? Oh, I'm just going to let you unfold this, as you must have figured out how you're going to present this. You can see this. And the vacancy list is in your binder, one of two, about halfway in on a tab called Vacancy List. Please proceed.
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, my name is Mark Hunt. Again, Human Resources Director for the Department of Education. In the tab, you have materials that were put together originally at the request, I believe, of DAS to track vacancy lists. And what we've done is to include with the materials criteria for that we follow for filling positions, as well as the agency coding that was requested in response to the DAS information. I guess I need to lay a backdrop here. In the year that I've been at the Department of Education, I actually came into a system that, very candidly, a year ago, we probably couldn't have put this information together. And what we have done in this past year is and actually the last 100 days is to build an infrastructure that we can track and manage, bring accountability to our position inventory that we have for the department that the legislature has granted us. The list that you have entails something along the line of about 120 positions. Those positions are arrayed in a descending order based on the coding that was provided to us by DAS in terms of response. What we've tried to do is to have some explanation on the far right corner of what that position entails, where the position was related to pending budget package or decision package. We've done that, and to try and describe what the position might relate to, whether it be a special schools child care worker or a specialty position like a psychometrician, that we'd be able to track those. Perhaps while you see a very large number of positions there, Madam Chair, the important part is that, for example, and most of the positions do reside with the special schools, the actual FTE count, full-time equivalency, is 15.65 position authority. Some of these positions are vacant because of student census. In other words, if we don't have a one-on-one child care need for a special needs student, we wouldn't have that position filled. If there's a specialty position that we're unable to fill, then it would show up on this list. But I think the underlying message is that while we have a considerable number of positions, the actual full-time equivalency is really quite small.
Is there anywhere in this data where we can see how much of a position these actually represent?
No, it wasn't in that listing, but I'd be happy to provide an alternative list that we put together to track those for you that shows the full-time equivalency.
Okay, and are we also safe in assuming that all of these positions are general funded, or are they a variety of fund sources?
Madam Chair, they are a variety of sources. Depending on the program that they might be attached to and the underlying legislative authority that was granted when the position was originally initiated.
Do we have any way from this information to know what the funding source is?
Yes, we. I have an additional crib sheet, and I'd be happy to share that with you that does list that. At your convenience.
Okay. It would, I think, be useful information for us to know what we can expect in terms of FTE savings and general fund savings from the list, which is where we're really looking for economies.
Madam Chair, we can provide the listing of the positions that's broken out by fund type. Some of these positions, though, I would want to present to you that their need for the service delivery, or some cases the positions are held so that we can provide substitute teachers, for example. We need position authority for that. Or where we have tried to use temporary services, we use the budget authority that's attached to these positions to fund that. So any reductions of the vacancies that we have would have obviously an impact on our capability to continue services in some form or fashion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Masley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be very interested in a better explanation on anything. I was going to say over 12 months, this over 12 months, but maybe even down to 9 months, and I see it I think the highest I've seen here is 55 months vacant. Maybe there's, or here's a 59. all the information you asked for, Madam Chair, but also really good explanation of why they are still vacant.
Madam Chair, Senator Mesley would be happy to provide that to you.
Can you talk to us, too, about, I know that it is a common action of agencies to hold positions open and then use the money to fund other roll-up costs or other related costs. Is there any way that, from looking at this list, that we can see which positions are positions that people are supposed to be in and which ones are just positions that you've never had people in?
Madam Chair, the list that we are using for the vacancies doesn't provide that readily. However, we can go through and do a crosswalk. A number of the positions that have been vacant for a considerable length of time are positions that, frankly, we use the funding from them to support either temporary employees that come in, provide unique or one-time services, or substitute positions. We are, for example, with the special schools, in the process of reconciling their position authority to literally do what it is that I believe that you're asking in regards to just what are the resources we need and how does the functions and the position authority, how should that line up? We have worked fairly diligently on that process with the staff at the Public Service Building within our Operations Corps, and frankly in our process of bringing some accountability and realigning the organization, the special schools are next on the docket in terms of our task list.
That was the next point that I was wanting to explore with this list. Given that you are going through a reorganization right now, we also don't have any way of knowing how the positions on this list relate to the reorganization activities and what the end result of that process is going to be. You got any thoughts there on how to interface that into, or this list into the reorg process?
Madam Chair, I don't have a crystal ball. Perhaps if Mr. Greenfield might want to offer some comments on that. I think overall what you'll see is what we're doing is realigning functions with our position authority. And if you look at the decision packages that are included at the tail end of this list that you have, that is the agency's attempt to start lining up the position authority that the legislature has given us with the functions that we actually perform. That's something that apparently has not been done at the department for a good number of years, and what we're attempting to do now.
I'm sure.
Your message.
Thank you. I understand why you need some flex in here to take care of temporary help and some additional costs, but isn't there a better way to package that besides just leaving vacancies open? I know that's what all the agencies do, but it seems to me like a very cumbersome way and a very, from my perspective, inaccurate way of my being able to understand what's going on.
Madam Chair, Senator Mesley, I think I would have to agree in large part with your comments. It is a cumbersome way. The budget process, I think, leads us that way to some degree. There are some other options in regards to having budget authority and support services side, but this is something in the agency where you're nearly a half of the staff are providing direct services to children, and all the needs that change daily or weekly, having that flexibility almost demands some fluidity in our processes here.
But I would submit to you, one of the things that has continually frustrated me in my short legislative career in Ways and Means is the inability of people on this side of the table to figure a budget out when there's a whole bunch of line items in it that don't really relate to what's going on. And part of what we stumbled into in the over the interim when we did our four rebalances was that there's a whole lot of money in play here that isn't actually attributed to the place that it should be attributed. And so part of the effort to vacuum all of these positions out, these vacant positions, isn't necessarily to eliminate the funding, but it's to truth the budgets up so that the money is actually attributed where it goes. And we, in this process, have the opportunity to have a straight across discussion about what the money is actually being spent on and whether that's a policy decision that we want to buy into. So there's a truthing up piece of this too that is real critical, that things actually be called what they are and that the discussion take place on the reality of the situation.
Madam Chair, I think we want nothing more than the same, to be able to sit down with you and say, here's the dollars we're spending, and line it up and say, here's what we're buying for those dollars. So,
Mr. Fazier.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, for the record, Dave Fazier, Director of Management Services at Department of Ed. I have to echo Mr. Hunt's sentiments and say we actually had planned in package 107, which we submitted in our agency request budget, to use that as a vehicle to once and for all, of course, that's a misnomer, but certainly to get us a good step of the way there, to demonstrate our best foot forward, saying by the end of this legislative session, we need to have position authority that is aligned with the needs and uses of the budget by the agency. That included, in package 107, there it was some needs that we had determined at the time we submitted agency request. We put in there when Governor's Rec was done, we had submitted some additional insight and information on how to make changes to align that. And then the vacancy list process was initiated in the legislative session also. But between all of these efforts, that really is our intention, is to make sure that in the end we have aligned all of full-time, part-time, and special position authority with the way we do business. For example, to take position authority, if we're using the money for contracts or other methodologies of providing those services, that we get rid of the position authority and move those dollars to services and supplies. And so in summing up, I've been living with the mismatch between what the records say in the state budget for Department of Ed and what is the reality for now almost 8 years. And so we want nothing more than what you've just described. We need transparency in what all the databases and the budget records say, and have that as close to reality as to how we spend those dollars and how we do business.
Absolutely.
Senator.
Madam Chair, I just have to say that I appreciate the direction we're moving, not just in this department, but all of them. The reason I say that, in 97, I was my first service on the Natural Resource Ways and Means. And with DEQ, they literally had a quarter FTE. And you could absolutely not trace a person to what they were doing. And so we've come a long way. We've got a little farther to go, but it used to be much, much worse.
Madam Chair, Senator Mesley, I could show you a whole list of position authority that's 0.02, 0.04.
Right.
So we concur with you.
Well, I do hope that you work with LFO to get a piece of information here that we can actually work from, so that we can figure out what dollars are to attribute to what positions, and just get more detailed information here so that we can work with the savings that we need to get in the general fund arena. And you can work with what you need to align your functions to your position authority.
I'd be happy to do so, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, my agenda has been hopelessly turned upside down, so I'm just going to let you proceed.
I think we may be done.
Oh, are we done?
I'd be happy to conclude my comments on vacancy at this point.
Okay. Well, we're always falling into this.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Bill Braley's on the, Braley's on the list, and we haven't had a chance to cross-examine him yet for a week, 2 weeks. So.
Well, I wouldn't like anybody to have the mistake.
That's the only reason I came back.
I actually know what's going on here.
Madam Chair, Senator Messerly, it's an honor and a privilege to be in front of you today.
That's enough.
Thank you, sir. Well, that would conclude my remark.
Well, that was short and to the point.
It's your response from yesterday, this morning.
Thank you, thank you.
Madam Chair, are we done for the day?
Well, I have final comments by Mr. Greenfield that if he, no parting shots, nothing, then, and there's no further questions, and we have all the information. This is a package of answers to questions that we asked, so I'm sure that if questions arise from these answers that we can talk to the members of the department or talk to LFO and get the answers done. Thank you very much for all. I know this has been an extraordinary undertaking in terms of time and energy for everyone, and I really do appreciate the effort that the department has put into this. And with that, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5014 and 5015 and adjourn the meeting.